The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Deep left field! This is what it is! Welcome on!
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
What's up, and welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today on Monday, June 6th. Frank Sample joined by Scott White. Today on the show, some big pitcher performances this weekend. Prospects getting promoted or called back up, recalled, I guess you would say. Waiver wire ads, drops, and of course, much more. But first, take it away, Susan.
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, Scott, it always makes me feel so much better when you choose a Yankee player and I don't, so that I don't get yelled at.
Ah, well, you shouldn't worry so much about faceless masses yelling at you, Frank. First of all. But yes, I am choosing a Yankee. I'm choosing Luis Severino. Who was amazing on Saturday. 7 one-hit innings with 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Now it was against the Tigers, clearly the worst offense in baseball. But it was still very impressive, and he's been doing things close to this for a while now. His ERA is now 2.95 for the year. He's had no trouble pitching deep into games after all those injuries. 4 starts in a row, 6-plus innings, 2 of the 4, 7-plus. And I think what stands out the most is, okay, so he got 20 swinging strikes. 8 came on the slider, which he threw 26% of the time. It was the second most thrown pitch. Remember when he, at the start of the year, he seemed to be fading that slider a bit. He didn't seem totally comfortable with it. And given all the trauma his elbow had gone through over the past couple years, I wondered if it was just going to be a longstanding issue, because that's a slider is a pitch that puts a strain on the elbow. But he has begun to feature it more prominently in recent starts, and you've seen the swinging strikes skyrocket. And the thing is, even with him not using the slider much early in the year, he still has a career-high swinging strike rate, 14.4%. So Luis Severino is, like, I'm not sure what there is to knock him for at this point. I mean, obviously, with all the years missed to injury, there's the risk of him getting injured again, but we're not seeing the time away from the game affect his performance or even affect how deep he's pitching into games. And like he's just looking like an ace at this point. I don't know how high I should move him on my rankings, but he deserves a big move up.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I moved him up last week inside of my top 40 starting pitchers for the first time, and it seems like that's not high enough. I was on the In This League podcast last week with our buddy the Welsh and Scott Bogman, and we were doing some player debates, and they asked me Luis Severino or Julio Urías rest of season. And you know, without even kind of thinking about it, you just go, Julio Urías, you know, he's drafted as a top 10 starting pitcher. You know, he was like a top 30 pick overall this past, you know, draft season. But I mean, they're really kind of moving in different directions in terms of like the underlying stats and stuff. So,
yeah. So I'm pulling up the rankings now. I feel like I have Julio at the last update. I have Julio Urías 23rd. And at that point, where's Severino? Gosh, I got to scroll a ways. I had him 48th, probably a little higher in points league since he's RP eligible, but I had him barely inside the top 50, and I had Urías up there at 23. You know, looking who I have ahead of Arias, Dylan Cease. Max Fried's awfully good. And then you get into like Shohei Ohtani and Robbie Ray. I'm not even sure I have those guys in the right order. But I feel like that's the range Severino belongs in. I feel like I can get him inside the top 20 now. And you know, Arias has been okay. I don't think he's been as good as we wanted him to be. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, he got a bunch of swinging strikes, but he had only 4 strikeouts in less than 6 innings. And, you know, the overall the strikeout rate is down for Julio Arias. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, let's see, who do I have behind Arias? Kyle Wright, Zach Gallen, Chris Bassett. Yeah, those are all guys I'd prefer Severino to all those guys. So I think he's a top 20 pitcher now.
Yeah, I don't think there's much performance risk, Scott. I think the biggest, you know, obvious risk with Severino is just injuries and can he stay on the field? But so far, he's looked great. He's looked like, you know, prime Severino from, you know, I guess at this point it was like 3 or 4 years ago, right? 2018 was like the last time Severino was really awesome. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's the only time he was healthy, really.
Yeah.
For any length of time. 2018 is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that slider, I looked up the swinging strike rate just for that pitch, 22% this season on the slider. So if he starts throwing that more, I think there's a chance we'll see even more strikeouts for Severino. Speaking of strikeouts, Jose Berríos, he needed this one, Scott. He put up a career-high 13 strikeouts against his former team, the Minnesota Twins, where he goes 7 innings, allows 2 runs, 13 strikeouts in this game, 19 swinging strikes on 90 pitches, and he leaned on the curveball more in this start. Jose Berríos did 34% usage, and it's right around 30% on the season. So it's not like he, you know, went crazy with it, but he did use it more. And again, it's far and away his best pitch, that curveball. 172 batting average against, a 14% swinging strike rate on that pitch. Scott, what do you think about this start for Jose Berríos? Could it be a sign of things to come? Or would you maybe look to sell after this big start?
Maybe a little both. I mean, it. Obviously, his season's been pretty bad up to this point. I will point out that this makes it 3 quality starts in 4 for him, though the one that wasn't a quality start last time out was just straight up awful. And there have been a lot of those awful starts. And I have pointed out that's kind of Jose Berríos's MO. So he goes through some stretches where he looks like Cy Young, and he goes through stretches where he looks... He's a dumpster fire, basically. But in the end, numbers are pretty much always the same. So, you know, hopefully he's pulling out of a dumpster fire stretch here and is about to go on a nice run for you. But it's always worth shopping. I mean, there are pitchers I have more confidence in than him. Let's see. Gosh, man, this is where it gets. I guess that 20 through 50 range at starting pitcher is
it's a mess. It's a mess,
really, Scott. Frustrating to rank, because I look at who I have Berríos behind and it's like, oh, I'd easily take him over that guy. Let's see. Maybe like a Yu Darvish. I feel like Yu Darvish is, I know his ERA is around 4, but he kind of feels like a sell high in a way, because I just have, like, he's not doing anything that well. Mm-hmm. But that's like, I would rather have Berríos than him. So I don't know why I brought him up. We're talking about who you could trade Berríos for in a good way. Would you trade him for...
Would you do it for Logan Webb, Scott?
No.
No.
No, Logan Webb hasn't been very good himself.
No, he hasn't.
But about, like, Robbie Ray? I'd trade Berríos for Robbie Ray.
Sure. How about Luis Castillo? Kind of... This is so frustrating, Scott, because he does something that works well in his previous start, Luis Castillo. He throws his 4-seam fastball 49% of the time and... completely changed his pitch mix, and then here on Sunday, he goes back to throwing his sinker more, throwing his 4-seam less, and just doesn't really have a good start. He gives up 5 runs against the Washington Nationals, and it's just more of that inconsistency, but I don't know. I don't know why he did that.
Right. Well, that's what I was worried about, because that's why I wasn't getting as excited about Luis Castillo after his last start. Okay, if you could tell me he's going to stick with this 4-seamer approach going forward, but we got to see it more than one start. And yeah, he reverted to his old pitch mix on Sunday, and the results were okay, but too many runs. I mean, it was a quality start, right? Did he go 6 innings?
It was 6 1/3. I think technically it was 3 earned, but it was 5 total runs. Yeah.
Okay. So that makes it a quality start.
Yes.
And he got, you know, the swinging strikes were there and everything, but yeah, just, yeah, I would rather have Berríos, I think, because I mean, if he is about to go on a run, then like that's obviously a must start player. I don't know that Luis Castillo is must start at the moment, especially given the team he plays for. Mm-hmm. He's pretty close. Like it would take a lot for me to sit him, but I think I'd rather have Berríos.
All right. So you've got Berríos at SP42, your last rankings update. I have him just a little bit behind mm-hmm. that. I have him behind Charlie Morton. I think I feel comfortable yeah. making that swap now. So we'll talk about it. Like, go ahead.
So this is what, you know, I was talking about the 20 through 50 range at starting pitcher, which, you know, kind of tells you how deep starting pitcher is, that like that's basically the non-ace but very good tier is runs 30 spots in our pitcher rankings. I have Berríos 40th. Well, I'm looking at the Roto rankings. You might be looking at head to head. I am 40th right now, but you know, I'm looking up to where Kyle Wright is at 24, where Eric Lauer I have at 28. Eric Lauer, you know, another not so promising start on Sunday. And it's like, I could easily take Berríos over those guys, but that's a jump 15, 16 spot in the rankings, you know?
Yeah. No, I do think that this range of starting pitcher, Scott, is very interchangeable right now until mm-hmm. we start to see someone emerge with consistency. And I guess that's why Luis Severino could rank ahead of that right. group now.
Somebody in the podcast league offered me Joe Ryan and like kind of a fringe waiver guy for Yu Darvish. And I was just like, I don't know. He's like, oh, you have Joe Ryan ranked 4 spots ahead. And it's like, yeah, but that means it's basically the same. Like when it's basically the same, I usually just stand pat.
All right. Let's move into some waiver wire pitchers, Scott, from the weekend. And I've got 5 names here on the list. Zach Eflin, another strong start up against the Angels. He went 8 shutout innings with 6 strikeouts. And over the past 3 starts, he's throwing that curveball more. He's 55% rostered. Roansy Contreras has allowed just 2 earned runs in 3 starts since getting called back up by the Pirates. Only 45% rostered, which I found interesting for Contreras. I thought that number would be higher. Dane Dunning gets back on track. 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts against the Mariners. He's 27% rostered. Zach Plesac, I know it's Zach Plesac, but his velocity was up a little bit in this start, and he's going up against the Oakland A's this week, so that's a good matchup. And then Jake Junis turns in probably his best start of the season so far. 6 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. He is 35% rostered. The problem is that he faces the Dodgers this week. Scott, are there, you know, a few names here, maybe 2 or 3 that stand out to you more than the rest? Eflin, Contreras, Dunning, Plesac, Junis.
Well, Contreras is the best. I think he's the best talent-wise, clearly. And I trust him to put up the best ratios. Will he get enough wins? Will he pitch deep enough into games to be worth your wire, to be worth your while in a standard 12-team league? I'm not sure about that. I understand why he's still so available, but like if you're picking up a guy for his rest of season prospects, I think Roansy Contreras is clearly the one from this group. If you're picking up a short term, you know, one start. What do we call them? Streamer. Maybe it's Plesac just because of that matchup, but man, it's you know I don't love one start streamers in general, and that's why, because you're really putting a lot on a guy who's probably not very good. Dane Dunning, though, has been doing some interesting things still. Hasn't quite fallen off the face of the earth yet. So Dane Dunning has 4 double-digit swinging strike efforts in a row. He had 14 on 93 pitches in this most recent start, 7 two-run innings, 3 hit innings against the Mariners with a strikeout per. 4 of his last 7 starts have been really good. So he's been missing more bats lately. He's been good more often than not. The underlying numbers still aren't great for Dane Dunning, and it's not like I'm eager to pick him up. But if you want a second choice behind Contreras of this group, Dane Dunning would probably be the one.
Mm-hmm. The swinging strike numbers overall for the season, I guess they're continuing to climb for Dane Dunning, as you mentioned, but you know, his XFIP is 3.31, his Sierra is 3.50, you know, pretty good numbers for Dane Dunning. So his K minus walk ratio is solid this year. He gets a lot of ground balls. So I kind of like him too. I mean, he's got two secondaries. He doesn't throw very hard, but I agree. You don't, he's not a must add or anything, Dane Dunning, but he is kind of interesting right now. Scott, I would assume, you know, Jeffrey Springs and maybe even Edward Cabrera are ahead of everyone I just mentioned.
Yes.
Oh, right. And speaking of Edward Cabrera, Scott, did you try to bid on Edward Cabrera in any of your leagues on Sunday night?
I did. So here we are early June, a little more, or about a third of the way through the season. And I don't have much money left in most of my leagues.
Me neither.
some aggressive bidding early in the year, kind of expecting others to bid more aggressively than they did, led to some, I think I've said before, I want to spend half my fab dollars in the first quarter of the season, generally speaking, because that's when the waiver wire is most fruitful. That's when other people generally are bidding aggressive too. So there's, you know, if it's kind of like, you know, if you're doing an auction and you're the last one left with a bunch of money, who cares? All the good players are gone, you know, and you're bidding against yourself.
Right.
So it's kind of the same thought process, but the way it worked this year for me is that a third of the way through the season, I spent like 80% of my fab. So realistic, yeah, I probably wasn't in on the Edward Cabrera bidding realistically in most leagues, and I'm okay with that. I mean, he's still a lot he needs to prove there, especially in terms of throwing strikes. But I think among the guys we haven't talked about in waiver wires in the past, in past weeks, he was probably the big bid for this week.
Oh yeah. So I actually did. I wound up winning him in three different leagues on Sunday. I spent $173 on him in my Tout Wars league. That's a 12-team head-to-head points league. That's out of a $1,000 budget, so 17%. And it's a head-to-head points league, but we use roto-style lineups, so it is a little bit deeper, and starting pitchers don't really come around that often. So I was aggressive with Cabrera there. And then I also won him in two 15-team leagues for $144. Out of a $1,000 budget, and $73, again, out of a $1,000 budget. So cross your fingers. I'm hoping Edward Cabrera is awesome, because, yeah, I actually wound up with him in quite a few places. But a few other prospects, Scott, that were either called up or recalled: Joe Adele, Ezekiel Duran, who was with the Texas Rangers, and Jaron Duran. And I think the Red Sox are playing the Rangers this week, so there's a chance that we get like a Duran matchup, which, for obvious reasons, is amazing. But were you looking to add any of Joe Adele, Ezekiel Duran, Jaron Duran?
Yes, on a lower level than like an Edward Cabrera. And I managed to add Jaron Duran in a couple leagues. Now, I think Adele especially, probably a short-term stay. In fact, Joe Madden actually said he wouldn't be up right now if Taylor Ward had to go on the IL. And oh, by the way, they think it's going to be a minimum stay for Taylor Ward. So what, how likely is Joe Adele to stick around, especially given that Joe Madden actually said that, which I'm surprised he said that, like, you know, way to instill confidence in the guy, make him think he has a chance. But Joe Adele had been struggling at AAA, and obviously, you know, you could understand why now might not be his time. Doesn't mean he's not worth stashing, but I don't think he's going to be of much use right now. And Jaron Duran may not be either. Now, Jaron Duran, got to specify since there's two Durans. Jaron Duran batted leadoff both Saturday and Sunday for the Red Sox. One start in right field, one start at DH. But he might only be up for Jackie Bradley being away on paternity leave. I believe that's what it is, right?
Yep.
Paternity, I said paternity believe, I believe. Paternity leave. sometimes my brain is working faster than my mouth.
Oh, You don't have to explain yourself, Scott. I mean, as the host of this podcast, it happens to me all the time.
Yeah. So I think there's a better chance of Jaren Durant sticking around than Joe Adele. You know, the likelier scenario is that he gets sent down in short order too. Mm-hmm. So Ezekiel Durant, and I didn't order my bids this way in the ones that have already gone through, but I wish I did, because Ezekiel Durant of the Rangers, I think, has the best chance of the three of sticking around, because now he's the young guy taking over at third base because Josh Smith, who we were talking about last week, got put on the IL with a sprained shoulder. And although Ezekiel Durant is making the jump from double A, I really like what he was doing at double A. So he's another guy who came over in the Joey Gallo trade with the Yankees last year, along with Joey Gallo, Otto, Glenn Otto.
Yep.
Yeah, and a couple others. So Ezekiel Durant at double A was hitting .317 with 7 homers, 7 steals, 24 doubles, a .936 OPS. And only an 18% strikeout rate. That's the best strikeout rate he's ever had in the minors. And not only that, Frank, but Ezekiel Durant's ground ball rate at AA was less than 30%. You hardly ever see a ground ball rate that low. And that, you know, it's not because the fly ball rate was exaggerated and all, he's clearly not going to hit for average. There was a ton of line drives and a good number of fly balls. So like that's like the perfect profile for maximizing batting average and power. And that's what he was doing at AA. He was hitting for average and power. Can it translate to the majors? Obviously, we've seen much higher end profiles than Ezekiel Durant flop in the past few years. So you bet against it. But in those deeper leagues, especially since he's going to be picking up third base eligibility, I think Durant might be worth a pickup. See where it goes.
He started on Sunday and he hit a home run already. Yeah, he went 2-for-4 with a home run on Sunday here. And I wanted to look up his, I believe he only has shortstop eligibility to start, second base on CBS to start, and then of course he will gain the third base eligibility. So he's 23 years old. That's Ezekiel Durant. Scott broke it down. There's a lot to like in the profile. He's a legit like top 75, top 80 prospect in the game right now. But yeah, he was aggressively called up, but I do like adding him for, you know, 3-5%, something like that. I picked him up in one league for $34 and let's see where it goes. Some power speed. He's a young, exciting player. I did want to ask Scott about, kind of jumping all over the place here, but some starting pitcher drop from the weekend. Marcus Stroman. Can we drop Marcus Stroman? His ERA jumps to 5.32. He gave up 9 runs over 4 innings pitched, 3 homers allowed. The underlying numbers are still okay, but what do you think about dropping Stroman? He's 77% rostered.
Before this awful start, which was awful in every way, he had allowed a combined 6 earned runs in his previous 5 starts.
Yep.
So I think he's still a viable points league guy. Now, obviously not must start. You know, if there's Jeffrey Springs out there, I'm not going to hesitate to drop Marcus Stroman for him. But would I drop Marcus Stroman for, you know, Dane Dunning? No, I wouldn't.
How about Cabrera?
Yeah, I mean, if it came to that, I'd rather go for the upside. Marcus Stroman isn't an upside play, but I think in the end, his numbers are going to be respectable. But given the choice, in a shallower league especially, you go for the upside.
All right, let's move over to some waiver wire hitters. Obviously, we talked about some of the prospects, but in shallower leagues, some names that stood out from the weekend. Andrew Vaughn had 7 hits. He's now batting .298 overall. He's 71% rostered. Frank Schwindel. Oh, man. Frankie 2 hits. He's making a return. He's got 8 hits over his last 4 games. That was entering Sunday night. I'll pull up Sunday night and see if he did anything there. But since returning to the majors, he had like that brief stint where he was sent down for, I don't know, like 12 hours, and then he came back. .275 batting average, 6 homers, and .850 OPS for Frank Schwindel. He's 66% rostered. He also pitched on Friday. Like, what can't this guy do? He's awesome. Alec Thomas had a double dong on Friday. Had been quiet recently. He's just hitting too many ground balls, but he is making a lot of contact. He's 60% rostered. And then Andrés Giménez, two homers this weekend, and he's hot once again. His last seven games, batting .385, three homers, one steal. He's got seven home games this week. 63% rostered is Andrés Giménez. Scott, are you looking at any of these names in some of your shallower leagues? Vaughn, Schwindel, Alec Thomas, Andrés Giménez.
Yeah, I mean, not surprisingly, Vaughn being the most rostered is the most interesting to me in the White Sox. Let me see here. I thought they were among the teams with the best matchups. They're not. But yeah, I think Andrew Vaughn, just for the upside in the way he's been playing more consistently, been producing, his strikeout rate's down this year. You know, he has that top prospect pedigree that like a Schwindel does not. Alec Thomas, same thing. He's probably the most interesting just because of that. And other than the ground ball rate, I really like what I've seen from him since being called up. Like it doesn't seem like he's overmatched in the majors the way a lot of these young guys have been. So those are the upside plays. I like Andrés Giménez, his numbers. I like his data. Yes. You know, the StatCast data backs up what he's doing.
Yes.
Completely. The XBA, I think, is over 290. The X slug over 500.
Yes.
And the base numbers look even better. The problem, before you get too excited, Frank, is for some reason, the Guardians have been sitting Andrés Giménez once, twice a week. Mm. And so that makes it a little hard to get fully behind him, especially when you're talking about a, you know, standard league context. If you're talking about roto lineups where you got the extra middle infield spot to fill and all of that, okay. But Andrés Giménez is probably already rostered in those. He's 63% rostered. I need to see him play more consistently. And maybe Owen Miller has dropped off enough that they'll begin to fade him more. You know, part of the problem is they somehow the Guardians ended up with more hitters than they could play because of, you know, guys like Stephen Kwan and Josh Naylor getting off to good starts, Owen Miller. But, you know, there'll probably be injuries at some point. And if Andrés Giménez continues to hit while some of those other guys fall off, then presumably he'll start to get more playing time.
I feel like they sit him against lefties at times. And if you look at his career splits, he's actually better against lefties than he is against righties. So that's kind of weird. And he's actually been better against lefties this season, but it's just, it's a really small sample size. It's only 26 plate appearances. So I think that would also kind of support him sitting against lefties. He just doesn't really have that many plate appearances against him. Scott, how do you feel about dropping some of these names? I keep getting questions about Juan Yepez has slowed down recently. Alec Bohm with the Phillies, Connor Joe, my man, Connor Joe, and Joey Gallo. What do you think about dropping those four? Are they droppable in like a standard 12 team league?
Yeah, I think any of them are droppable. I would prefer to drop some more than others. Let me see. Okay, so here's the list. Yeah, I would say in a categories league, you might want to keep Joey Gallo around just in case he goes on one of those home run binges. He probably will at some point. That's been his whole career. And Connor Joe is the one I'd be more hesitant to drop of the others since he bats high in the Rockies lineup and he's always going to have that Coors Field advantage going for him. Don't love him this upcoming week because they're on the road for all seven of their games. But yeah, I think he's more rosterable than Juan Yepez and Alec Bohm. Bohm, the data still looks great. He's still hitting the ball hard. His strikeout rate is still much better than last year. But and he did have, I think he had three hits and a walk Sunday. So maybe that's the start of something. But yeah, it's been pretty bad recently. But third base being the position it is, you're unlikely to find a high-quality alternative. Like that would be the reason to hold on to Bohm. But it's not a must if third base is already settled for you.
Well, maybe you want to drop Alec Bohm for Jose Miranda, who is coming around recently. He had a double dong on Friday, and over his last seven games, he's batting .346 with three home runs. He is 25% rostered. Some other names in deeper leagues, Scott, that I was considering adding on Sunday night. Garrett Cooper Has 7 hits this weekend. He's batting .302 overall with an .835 OPS. John Birdie has been playing more. They've had a bunch of injuries. I believe Brian Anderson is on the IL, but John Birdie, especially if you need steals, he's got 3 steals over his last 6 games. Bryson Stott hit his first 2 major league home runs over the weekend, including a walk-off 3-run homer on Sunday. And then Lane Thomas for 3, a triple dong on Friday. He actually had 7 hits this weekend, and he started each game, which has been key for him because playing time has been kind of hard for Lane Thomas to come by this season. So what do you think about this group, Scott, in deeper leagues? And would you maybe make that swap, drop Alec Bohm for Jose Miranda?
Yeah, you know, I like Miranda, and he has been coming around lately. I think you already laid out the stats, but that 2-homer game. So 361, 3 homers, 4 doubles over his past 11 games. It has struck out more than I like to see during that time because he is supposed to make a lot of contact. But still, you know, you'd rather see power than a lack of strikeouts, I think. So, yeah, the Thomas case is interesting because he started 3 games in a row, but he sat the 3 prior to that. So I still think, you know, Yadiel Hernandez has fallen off quite a bit. So there's room for Lane Thomas to regain an everyday role. I'm not sure he has yet, but if, you know, we obviously liked him as a sleeper coming in. He looked great over the last 6 weeks or so of last season. And he had this 3-homer game. So maybe that's going to inspire more consistent playing time. I'm not sure I'm eager to add him yet. Certainly not as much as I am Miranda. Bryson Stott is another one. And you know, really just those 15 team leagues, those leagues with the big lineups. I was putting in some claims for. I actually was prioritizing him over Ezekiel Duran. Then I have some second guesses about that. I guess maybe if it's an OBP league, you would prefer Stott. But Stott is the guy now because Gene Segura is out for months. Mm-hmm. So he's getting, like, he's entrusted with the job in a way he wasn't earlier this year when the playing time was kind of sporadic and everything. So hopefully we'll see him find more consistency. And the 2 homers this weekend were a good sign that maybe that's beginning for Bryson Stott.
All right. A few catchers in deeper leagues. If you play in those 2 catcher leagues, Jose Trevino hit his 4th home run this weekend. And Brian Servin, someone we continue to talk about, he went 2-for-4, hit his 3rd home run of the season on Sunday. So 2 names there for those who play in 2 catcher leagues. Before we hit the break, just a reminder to join our Fantasy Baseball Today Facebook group if you haven't already. That's facebook.com/groups/Fantasy Baseball Today. It's a really fun community. Ask questions, waiver wire, trades, dynasty, keeper leagues, whatever you've got going on, you can hop in there and you can post your question. And of course, you'll get a bunch of feedback from other people around. And it's really fun. See a lot of people communicating with each other on there. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/fantasy baseball today. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The news and notes. Clayton Kershaw could be ready to start next Sunday's game in San Francisco. Some good news there. Chris Sale will throw another bullpen session Tuesday and then hopefully live batting practice later in the week on Friday. So batting practice, then he needs a rehab stint, maybe late June, early July, post All-Star break, something like that. You know, probably
I think I'll be back before the All-Star break.
Okay. So somewhere in like
he's a gamer.
2 to 4 week range probably for Chris Sale, something like that. Eloy Jimenez is still working on building his lower body strength at AAA and will not be activated yet for the White Sox. He, of course, is trying to return from a hamstring tear. It wasn't just a pull. It was pretty legit. I actually think he had to have surgery on it, so it's a rough one. Lance Lynn will make another rehab start Wednesday and could join the White Sox rotation at the Detroit Tigers on June 13th, which...
That's a Monday.
You know, A, it would be a two-star week, and who wouldn't want to make their first start against the Detroit Tigers right now? So,
telling you.
It's rough. Those Mets, they just cannot stay out of trouble, Scott. First, we had Lindor. He got his hand caught in a door last week, in a hotel door. And now Max Scherzer got bit in the hand by one of his dogs. What?
When the dog bites.
I actually think Steve Cohen had some kind of clever tweet once again. Something about biting the hand that feeds you or something. But whatever. I don't know. Steve Cohen. Tweets. I think probably just stay off Twitter, buddy. In his first rehab start, Tyler McGill gave up 2 runs over 3 2/3 innings. He touched 98 miles per hour with his fastball. He's on the IL with biceps tendonitis right now. Max Muncy started a rehab assignment at AAA on Saturday, and things actually open up for him to return because Edwin Rios was placed on the IL with a right hamstring tear, so he's going to be out for quite some time as well. Willie Adames will return to the Brewers on Tuesday, so get him back in your lineups. Austin Meadows could return on Tuesday against the Pirates. He's 82% rostered, so might be out there in some 10-team leagues. I don't know. Scott, are you excited about the return of Austin Meadows? I don't really know what to make of him at this point.
No, I'm not. I don't think there's... I think there's a trade-off, a clear trade-off between power and batting average for Austin Meadows. He either needs to sell out so hard for power that he hits 220, or what we saw earlier this year, he just didn't hit any home runs. In a small sample, things could turn around, but based on the way last year went for him, and now that he's playing in an even worse park for him, he seems pretty fringy to me.
All right, Steven Strasburg tossed 6 scoreless innings at AAA on Friday, and he's looked pretty awesome during his rehab assignment. I feel like every time we get an update, they're talking about how good Steven Strasburg looks right now. So,
well, have you seen anything about velocity coming back from thoracic outlet syndrome?
I haven't. His first 3 starts, though, in the minors this year, 1.98 ERA, 13 strikeouts to 13 2/3 innings.
Out. The first 2 of those were in the lower minors.
Okay.
So he better be whooping down there. Now, this first rehab start at AAA, yes, 6 one-hit innings. 7 whiffs on 83 pitches. Not great. That's against not AAA great. Hitters.
No.
It's, you know, I'm nitpicking. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we just want to see Steven Strasburg back healthy. But since I haven't seen velocity readings, that's... I wonder how he actually looks, because you would expect Steven Strasburg to pitch well against minor leaguers. Not that every major league pitcher who goes on a rehab assignment pitches well, but still.
He is 77% rostered, so could be out there in some shallower leagues as well. Jonathan India will get an MRI on his hamstring on Monday. He's been out for quite some time with that injury. Rangers prospect Josh Smith, who was recently called up, was placed in the IL with a left shoulder sprain, which Scott mentioned to you earlier. Orioles pitching prospect Grayson Rodriguez was officially diagnosed with a grade 2 lat strain and might not return this season, which, look, if they're playing it safe, he's, I don't know, one of the most prized prospects in the game right now. Mm-hmm. That probably makes sense. So,
yeah, if I'm invested in Grayson Rodriguez in a dynasty league, and I am, I think I'm rooting for him just not to pitch again this year.
I agree with that.
I just want a clean bill of health going into next season more than anything else.
I agree. Cubs outfield prospect Brennan Davis underwent back surgery on Thursday last week, and they are unsure if he will return this season as well. I mentioned Edwin Rios on the IL. Will Myers also went to the IL with right knee inflammation, and Alex Cobb is kind of questionable entering this week. He was scratched on Friday with a hamstring injury. He's at home versus the Rockies this week. Scott, would you chance it and leave Alex Cobb in your lineups?
Probably not.
Some of your Week 10 sleepers are already coming through, Scott. Over the weekend, Josiah Gray had a strong start at the Reds. 6 innings, 2 runs. He had 9 strikeouts, 15 swinging strikes. 70% rostered. He's at the Marlins this week. Obviously, we love the matchup there. And then Tommy Pham had 5 hits this weekend, including his 6th homer and his 3rd steal. He's 47% rostered. And then Alejandro Kirk, the power is coming, Scott. The power stroke is here. 2 more homers this weekend. And the people are listening to you because he's already up to 76% rostered.
I don't know that they're listening to me. They probably just all need a catcher, and they saw that he put up 36 points this week.
Wow.
In standard CBA. He never strikes out if he's going to hit for power, too, which is what I thought would happen. So, yeah, past 9 games, 469, 3 home runs, 4 doubles, only 2 Ks for Alejandro Kirk. And since he got his first extra base hit on May 3rd, span of 25 games, including that game, Alejandro Kirk is at 358 with 5 homers, 8 doubles, 11 walks versus 6 strikeouts. So he, yeah, I think he's a stud. Slow start in April when nobody was hitting, but I think he's come around here and is going to be, shoot, I think I need to move him ahead of Yasmani Grandal into my top 5 at catcher. I did drop Grandal for him in one of my shallower leagues where I thought I could get away with dropping Grandal, but
wow,
yeah, I think Kirk, I trust more going forward. Right. Let's see. Were you asking me about somebody else?
There's a few other names here: Tommy Pham and Josiah Gray. If you have anything on those,
oh yeah, yeah, they are on my sleeper hitters and pitchers list. You're right, though. It doesn't really work that way. I don't get credit for it yet.
Not yet,
because the week hasn't started. But it is nice that they're on a. Good run. So Josiah Gray in this start, he threw his slider about 40% of the time and got a total of 15 whiffs on 91 pitches. Right, when he has emphasized that slider, he's been great. It's happened a couple times this year. It was like they're like his best starts. Usually he throws the slider 25% of the time, but when it's his most used pitch, about around 40% of the time, things go well. Also, when he keeps the ball in the park, things go well. And I'm hopeful that this week in Miami, Big Park, suspect lineup, that Josiah Gray will have another good start, and hopefully he can get to featuring the slider prominently with more consistency.
I like it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Josiah Gray at the Marlins this week. Let's get into some recap from the rest of the weekend and what is going on with Walker Buehler. He gives up 5 earned runs over 2 1/3 against the New York Mets and over his last 5 starts total. He's got a 6.66 ERA and a 1.68 whip. Scott, what is up with Walker Buehler, and would you start him at the Giants this week?
I probably would start Walker Buehler. This was a bad start. This was a very bad start, but he's more underwhelmed, I would say. It hadn't felt like a liability to start him the way it had Jose Berríos at times or Charlie Morton at times. You know, the ERAs, it's gone up, but and look, the velocity is down slightly. It's been getting better. It's only down slightly. The swinging strike rate is actually normal for Walker Buehler. The strikeout rate is noticeably down. And yet, even with it being down, Walker Buehler's ERA estimators aren't that far off from usual. And there have been times. He's in his, I guess, his 5th full season. There have been times where, you know, because he's never been a guy who's had like a big swinging strike rate or anything. And you know, early on last year, the strikeouts were down for Walker Buehler as well. Although I don't think as long as deep into the season. And there are times when I've worried, oh, he's lost it. And then he gets back on track and like breezes for months and ends up in the Cy Young conversation. And I just feel like it's going to play out that same way again for Walker Buehler. He's clearly searching right now, but I don't, like, he doesn't look broken enough for me to worry.
What stood out to me most is his fastball is getting hit quite hard this year. A 386 batting average against 643 slug. And the spin is actually down quite a bit.
Yeah, the spin's down. You're right.
Compared to last year. Yeah, it's down about over 200 RPM on that fastball. So
now, you know, I guess we could talk about Okay, so is he a victim of the sticky substance ban? That's not something we've talked about a lot this year.
No.
But he was not somebody who was that afflicted by it, you know, once it was put in place last June. It was that he never came up in that conversation, and he was great over the final 3 months of the season. Put him in the Cy Young conversation again. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
His spin rates are down across the board, guy. I mean, it's not just the fastball. It's like on every one of his pitches, they're down.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm just not that worried about it.
All right. Yeah. I mean, look, the swinging strike rate, I think, is 11.5%, which doesn't sound very good, but it's actually right in line with Walker Buehler's career mark. So,
He's never been that big of a bat misser.
Mm-hmm. I think I would bet. I mean, there's just so much pedigree there and track record. I would bet on Walker Buehler getting back on track as well. Studs being studs, part one, pitcher edition. Shane Bieber now has double digit strikeouts twice in his last four outings, and he was at the Orioles this weekend. 7 innings, 2 runs, 11 strikeouts to 2 walks. He had 23 swinging strikes. Gerrit Cole now has 9+ strikeouts in 3 straight. He was up against the Tigers this weekend, 7 shutout with 9 strikeouts. Shane McClanahan now has 5 straight quality starts. So not only is he giving you the strikeouts and the ratios, he's giving you length pretty consistently as well. And then Logan Gilbert, 4 quality starts in a row for him. He goes 6 innings, gives up 2 runs, 7 strikeouts to just 1 walk. Scott, anything you'd like to add on Bieber, Gerrit Cole, Shane O'Mac, and Logan Gilbert?
Logan Gilbert, his velocity was up 1 mile per hour on both his fastball and slider, which is basically all he throws. Those are his main 2 pitches by a long shot. He's had 14 or more swinging strikes in 4 of his last 5 starts. So remember when he was having success early on, I'm like, yeah, but is he missing many bats? Is he getting many strikeouts? It's gotten better. He's done the Walker Buehler trick as Logan Gilbert. So I feel pretty confident this breakout is legit for him at this point. Shane Bieber was so dominant. It was against the Orioles, I know, but 11 strikeouts, 23 swinging strikes. He overwhelmed them with breaking balls. He still doesn't have his old fastball velocity, but that slider and curveball, they both are so effective that I think he's going to be okay. I mean, he's not top 5, but top 15, certainly top 20. I think he can continue with that. Now, he needed this 11 strikeout game to get over a strikeout per inning this year. He had been under it for a while until then, but you know, ERA in the low 3s, pitching deep into games. I think Shane Bieber's still, I think we're past the point where we need to be panicked about Shane Bieber.
Let's take a look at some other starting pitcher studs from the weekend. Joe Musgrove, another awesome start. He was at the Brewers, 8 shutout innings, only allowed 1 hit, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Max Fried goes into Coors Field, and he was amazing. 8 shutout innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. And Zach Wheeler now has 7+ strikeouts in 7 straight. He was up against the Angels. He went 6 innings, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts there. Scott, anything you'd like to add on Wheeler, Fried, and Musgrove?
Could you trade Bieber for Wheeler? Maybe.
Maybe.
Should you? I guess you should, because I just said Wheeler was clearly top 5, and we need to stop second-guessing ourselves.
Right. Yes. No, I would rather have Zach Wheeler.
Okay. All right, now what'd you ask me?
Is there anything you'd like to add on those 3, Musgrove, Fried, Wheeler?
No.
All right, starting pitchers who might be studs, or maybe returning to studdom, if that's a word. Nathan Eovaldi, since he got shellacked a couple of weeks ago, he has been great. A 1.66 ERA over his last 3 starts with a 15.9% swinging strike rate. Tyler Anderson, 3 scoreless outings in a row. He shut down the Mets this weekend. Mackenzie Gore has allowed just 1 earned run over his last 3 starts. He was at the Brewers this weekend, 6 shutout with 10 strikeouts. He's awesome. And then Martin Perez, I don't think he's a stud, but he's still just kind of pitching like a stud. He's allowed just two earned runs or fewer in nine straight starts. That is Martinez.
I know, this is worst start in a long time. He gave up two runs in six innings.
He gave up his first home run of the season, Scott. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Man, Mackenzie Gore is looking better and better, huh? He might be... has there been an NL rookie better than Mackenzie Gore? Is he going to end up being rookie of the year? At the top of my head, I can't think of anybody.
Me neither, but I'm very happy for him, Scott. The way that like his career was playing out and now he's just gotten back and he's just living out his prospect potential, it's awesome to watch.
It is, and I'm excited for anybody who rosters him in fantasy. Now, at some point, he's going to run into an innings problem, probably.
Yep.
But I don't think we need to worry so much about that just yet.
Yeah.
And Tyler Anderson, again, looking like a dominant pitcher with the Dodgers. You got 10 of his 14 swinging strikes on that changeup, which has just emerged as this amazing pitch for him. And, you know, I think he's in that same discussion at this point with like the Kyle Wrights and, I mean, at this point, I'm not sure I wouldn't rather have him than Eric Lauer.
Yeah.
He's in that discussion.
That swinging strike rate for Tyler Anderson, 14.5%, that ranks seventh among qualified starting pitchers this season.
Unbelievable. So. Never, I never would have guessed Tyler Anderson would turn into a bat misser.
Oh, man, it's the Dodgers. They have like this devil magic. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something.
About to get Andrew Heaney back.
Yeah. Exciting times. Scott, start or sit these starting pitchers that are either trending in the right direction and they were fringy, or maybe they're going in the opposite direction. Nick Pivetta now has six quality starts in a row. He's at the Angels this week, though. Would you start him there?
I would avoid it. It's not a blunt no, but I think most people could probably have alternatives.
Dylan Cease has 11 walks over his last two starts and a 4.81 ERA over his last five. Would you start him at home against the Dodgers?
Yeah. I think he's basically must start, even with, you know, sometimes his control gets away from him.
All right. Patrick Sandoval, the walks are kind of piling up for him right now. He's got 18 walks over his last six starts, and the swinging strike rate is down quite a bit compared to last year. He's at home against the Mets this week.
I've been pretty disappointed with Patrick Sandoval. I don't think he's far from automatic in a one-start week, so I would try to sit him against the Mets.
Luis Castillo, we spoke about him earlier, Scott. He is at the Cardinals this week.
I'd lean yes. Not a must, but I'd lean yes.
All right, Scott, our favorite time of the podcast. It's time to talk about Charlie Morton, who had another mixed bag at Coors Field on Sunday. Of course, pitching in Colorado is no easy task, but he gives up four runs over five innings, three more walks. He did have eight strikeouts, and he had 18 swinging strikes. So those are the good things. Obviously, he was still hit hard in this game. Would you start him up against the Pirates this week at home?
Yes, I was very encouraged by this Charlie Morton start. Like, who would have imagined go to Coors Field to get your curveball back on track? But that seemed to be what happened. His curveball got 10 swinging strikes. And there were the three walks. That was really the problem. They all came in the first inning.
Yeah.
The three walks and three of the four earned runs came in the first inning. And from that point forward, he cruised. And now he's going against the Pirates. So I know there was that start a few weeks back where we're like, yeah, Charlie Morton's back. I don't know for sure that he's back, but like I feel like from the second inning on, this is what good Charlie Morton looks like. And so, yeah, I'd be willing to start him against the Pirates.
I think I'm going to do the reverse jinx in this one too, Scott. I think I'm going to watch every single pitch for Charlie Morton and see if that helps him. What do you think?
I'm not superstitious, so go for it.
I've been avoiding him and he's done nothing. So I don't think that there is a curse anymore. I'm going to try and break it by watching every single pitch that Charlie Morton throws this week. Let's take a look at some hitting leftovers from the weekend. Some double dongs. Juan Soto trying to get back on track. He hit three home runs this weekend. Kyle Schwarber hit a double dong on Friday. He now has four homers over his last six games. Bryce Harper hit three home runs himself this weekend, including a double dong on Friday. Then a game-tying grand slam on Sunday. He hit that off of Raisel Iglesias. Pete Alonso hit three more homers this weekend. He's now up to 16 total. Colton Wong had a double dong on Sunday. He's now up to five homers, and he also has eight steals. Scott, would you try and use this opportunity to sell high on Bryce Harper while he's healthy and mashing?
Look, we just did that redraft on Memorial Day for rest of season, and I think I was the most concerned about Bryce Harper of any of us, his rest of season prospects. And I still had him 13th overall. So what does a sell high look like? I would trade him for Vladimir Guerrero, I guess, because that's somebody I had higher than 13. That, you know, you could see the person who rosters him being willing to part with him. But, at the, you know, Guerrero started to come out of it. He's hit a bunch of home runs since then. So I think like three or four when I say a bunch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it would be hard to sell high on Bryce Harper is what I'm saying.
I agree. You might be able to get Juan Soto off of someone who, I don't know, thinks that he's struggling. I guess technically he is struggling, but yeah, we still have a ton of confidence in Juan Soto.
And like it might be, even with like Guerrero, there's a greater need in the outfield than at first base. Like you may be set at first base with a Josh Bell or whatever, and would prefer to stick with Harper. And I could understand that.
Aaron Judge hit two more home runs this weekend, increasing his league lead to 21. Anthony Rizzo also added two homers and two steals. He's now up to four steals for the season. He did have 10 back in 2017, which, you know, quite a while ago, but, you know, Rizzo's running a little bit. Actually, the entire Yankee team is running a lot this year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit two home runs this weekend. He now has three over his last five games. Yordan Alvarez, seven hits this weekend, including two homers for himself. He's now batting .295. Remember, it felt like 2 weeks ago, Scott, that Alvarez was batting like .230, and now he's batting .295, and yep, he has 16 home runs total.
So. That was a guy ranked ahead of Bryce Harper, FWIW.
Interesante. Julio Rodriguez, two more steals this weekend. He's now up to 17, man. This guy, he's just running wild. It's awesome to watch. Signs of life for these three hitters. Salvador Perez, back-to-back multi-hit games. He had a home run in each of them. Matt Chapman went 3-for-4 with a home run on Sunday. He's batting .360 over his last seven games. And Marcus Semien, slow and steady. Four hits over his last four games, which doesn't sound that great, but he had two homers, two steals in those four games, and over his last 18, he's batting .267, three home runs, six steals.
Yeah, I want to get excited about Marcus Semien turning it around because, oh yeah, he's hitting some homers. During this 18-game stretch where he's supposedly coming roaring back, his OPS is like .750. I don't have the exact number, but it's not great. The steals are really saving him. So I'm not totally back on board with Marcus Semien, though it's good to see him doing something because he was literally doing nothing for the first 2 months almost. And I want to mention Salvador Perez here because so the back-to-back games with a home run and a double, the first was Saturday. On Friday, he looked like he couldn't hold a bat anymore. Like his thumb, they were talking about how his thumb is bothering him, but he's going to keep playing through it. And he couldn't keep both hands on the bat. And then he comes back and has these two games. And it's just like anytime Salvador Perez, an injury is brought to our attention, it's like that's just a sign he's going to go off, right? Because there was the blurred vision issue yeah, early this year, and same thing happened last year with the vision, I think. So I don't know, but it's nice to see from our number one catcher rest of season.
The call to the bullpen. Some bullpen updates here. For the Nationals, Tanner Rainey had two saves this weekend. He's now up to seven total, and he is only 35% rostered, which seems low to me, Scott. Just I know the Nationals aren't good, but he's just very clearly the closer for their team, so it seems like that number should be higher. For Tampa Bay, Colin Poche recorded a one-out save on Friday, but Andrew Kittredge returned on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rays still kind of mix and match for the next week or so.
Yeah, but I think it'll be. Kittredge did work the ninth in a one run loss.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he's probably going to be their top leverage guy still.
For the Mariners, Paul Sewald picked up two saves this weekend. He is 28% rostered.
He has the Mariners' last three saves.
Yeah, and they
Paul Sewald.
I think they DFA'd Drew Steckenrider too, so he's gone. Diego Castillo is still there, Andres Munoz, but yeah, it seems like they're leaning on Sewald more. So
now remember, Sewald had this like amazing strikeout rate last year. It's only 8.4 per nine this year, so he has not been. He hasn't looked like the same pitcher. Yeah. So I don't know how excited I am, but yeah, he's gotten each of the Mariners' last three saves.
Jorge Lopez recorded his. Go ahead, Scott.
I thought I needed to correct myself, but I didn't.
All right, Jorge Lopez picked up his seventh save this weekend. He's 53% rostered. Scott, how would you rank those three? Lopez, Sewald, Tanner Rainey. If you need saves, they're pretty widely available.
I would say Lopez, Rainey, Sewald.
All right. And what about the Giants? Camilo Doval pitched in the sixth inning on Saturday with the game tied 4-4. Now, that was two games in a row, basically, where he came in before the seventh inning to kind of pitch at just a weird kind of point in the game, I guess. He did face the heart of the Marlins lineup. The game was tied, but still just kind of weird. And then on Sunday, Camilo Doval pitched a ninth inning with a four-run lead, so more traditional usage there. Scott, do you have any idea? Have you seen anything about this? Like, what's going on with Camilo Doval?
No, I haven't. No. I just think it's Gabe Kapler being Gabe Kapler. And let's see, so Doval has eight saves. Nobody else has more than two. Gosh, who would even be an alternative for saves? Jake McGee's ERA is over seven. I think he's missed some time with injury, right?
Yep.
Dominique Leon has a save. But I still expect Doval's going to be the main choice.
Yeah, I agree.
He may be going more the committee route again, which was Kapler's MO prior to last year. I know saves were spread out last year, but it was more because guys lost and regained their job and got hurt and whatnot. He seemed pretty. It was the strictest Kapler's ever been about bullpen roles last year, and maybe he's going back to what he used to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dominique Leon, for what it's worth, his numbers are pretty good. Mm-hmm. K-minus walk rate is strong. He's got a 3 ERA, 2.71 xFIP. So, just a name to watch for now.
I do want to mention, because I've alluded to it a couple times, and I see we're not going to get to it, Eric Lauer on Sunday. One earned run in six innings, three runs total, but one earned, four strikeouts. He had nine swinging strikes on 100 pitches. His velocity was down 1.1 miles per hour from his season average. So pretty much back to normal with the fastball velocity after, what was he calling it, the zoom ball early in the year?
Not really zooming.
No. Four straight starts with single-digit swinging strikes.
Ew.
And the stretch where he was awesome was basically four starts also. So I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like this is more the real Eric Lauer than what we saw earlier in the season.
Mm. So maybe a sell high situation on Eric Lauer while the numbers still look pretty good. Look, I wouldn't put it past him to, get back on track. Obviously, we saw it earlier this season, but the way that it's trending right now is not looking great for Eric Lauer. One other bullpen I wanted to mention for the Angels, Raisel Iglesias, he gave up that game-tying grand slam to Bryce Harper. The ERA is now 4.91. He just has not been as good or as locked down as we've seen in years past. So something to watch with the Angels.
Too many fly balls.
To stream or not to stream, we'll start with Monday, where we have a whopping six games on the schedule. So I think we're going to get a little creative on tomorrow's podcast, Scott. We've got John Gray at the Guardians. We've got Daniel Lynch versus the Blue Jays and Michael Wacha at the Angels.
I think John Gray is a good choice.
All right. Tuesday, we have Madison Bumgarner at the Reds, Graham Ashcraft versus the Diamondbacks, Dakota Hudson at the Rays, Jeffrey Springs versus the Cardinals, Connor Pilkington versus the Rangers, and Taijuan Walker at the Padres.
Jeffrey Springs is a good choice. The matchup isn't great, but the pitcher is. And if you need more Ashcraft against the Diamondbacks, Pilkington against the Rangers, I feel okay about them. I like them more in weekly formats with the two starts, but you know, that could work as one start streamers too, I guess.
All right. I will point out, and you mentioned the matchup for Springs, but the Cardinals are very good against lefties. They have the second highest weighted on base average. So if Springs looks good against them, then I think that's...
Hey, he's looked good against a lot of good lineups this
year. He has, so. Yeah. That will be the last seal of approval that you need up against the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, we're going to wrap there. For Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.